Hey, thanks for tuning in. This is episode 79 of the Jock and Nerd Podcast. It's your Jock and Nerd Weekly for Friday, February 12th, 2016. Happy Deadpool movie release day, everybody.
It's the Jock and Nerd Podcast with your hosts, Anthony and Imran.
Well, hello, friend. Thanks for listening. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
He's the nerd.
And you're tuning in to the Jock and Nerd Podcast. This is our latest edition of the Jock and Nerd Weekly. We're live on Blab, and we got the rugs. What's up, rug boy?
What's up, dudes? What's up, Anthony?
What's up? I have to correct Imran. Yeah. Deadpool came out technically last night.
Well, now these movies don't come out on even Friday anymore, do they? They come out like almost 24 hours earlier. So whenever, like, release dates are really a day earlier than the release date. Yeah, it came out in the UK. It's already out in the UK, but today is Deadpool's released in the US.
Do you think that my prediction will come true, Imran?
Well, look, we'll get into that in the news. I got a whole bunch of Deadpool news to kick off the news. Thanks for everyone joining us in the Blab. What's up, Warren? If you are new to the show, here's what's going to go down. We're going to talk about this week's latest episodes of Agent Carter, The Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow. Before that, we got a bunch of geek news to go over. But I want to start exactly where the last Jock and Nerd Weekly left out, which is with our awesome listener, Anthony Clegg, who joined us for the first time last week. Awesome person on Blab. He's from the UK. And Anthony, you missed it. You met him in the beginning. But Ruggs, will you agree with me when I say that Anthony Clegg gave us a Jock and Nerd Podcast highlight, possibly like a SportsCenter top 10 highlight last week?
I think for the first time, something happened in our show that was completely had nothing to do with us, but had everything to do with reality. And I pointed it out on the show.
How about you recap it real quick for Anthony and people who didn't catch it?
All right. So Anthony has been sending us emails and shit. He's a fan.
He's a very good listener.
And so we do the Blab, and all of a sudden we notice that a new guy is watching us live on the Blab, and it's Anthony, this guy who's from England. And we're like, okay, we're doing our show. He's commenting. He's just burning up the chat the whole time. And finally, the show's over, and it's time for the guests to come on, the fans to come on. And he comes on, and we're having a great chat. And all of a sudden, he told us that it was like 4 in the morning or something like that, like super late.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, like, you see him turning around and, like, looking behind him a lot.
And you see a door and a hand on the door. Yeah. That's all you see.
And then all of a sudden, you see him, like, turn his camera so you can see who's yelling at him, and it's his wife who woke up and got pissed off, and he's like, who are you talking to? Blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, like, he just disappears.
And he's like, guys, I gotta go.
Oh, shit.
And then he comes on, like, all quiet later on back onto the chat. Like, he can't cam up. He's like, I got in trouble for my wife.
That was great.
I'm like, look, this is a moment in history here. A guy who was such a super fan, who's watched 60 of our shows or listened to 60 of our shows, stayed up till 4 in the morning to watch us and to be on with us, and then got in trouble with his wife.
Yeah, because
I feel like a celebrity.
I know.
Well, can you imagine, you imagine his wife walking in and looking at the screen that he's looking at and seeing an asshole in a Spider-Man outfit and then a talking puppet?
That's the best part, is to look and think of, like, you were up at 3 in the morning talking to a puppet and a dude in a Spider-Man hoodie. The beauty is this was all recorded. You could watch it all. It's pure hilarity. Anthony's written in again. He actually wrote two emails. I'm going to start out with the one. He said, just listen back to the episode. Note to self, don't join a podcast when you have been in a bar for 5 hours.
Oh, shit.
So that's what was going on. But, man, I love meeting the listeners, and that was hilarious. You guys, definitely check it out. Now, in that episode, we met also Indian Bollywood Superman. I was turned on to something I did not know about.
Did you watch the whole thing?
I watched a lot of it. It was fantastic. It was so bad and confusing, and I loved it. And then in our last episode, which is Walking Dead fans, definitely check it out. It's the big Walking Dead nerd fest with Do Right and Rug Boy. I may have went on a little rant about, you know, Pakistani Americans not being represented in the media or whatnot, stereotype characters. But then I was like, you know what? I have a show. This is I can put a spotlight on Packy's doing stuff. That I can actually do this, right? And I'm
You're doing it.
I'm Pakistani.
Oh, no. There we go.
I'm Pakistani, so I should spot. So I got a segment here. I'm calling the segment Pakistani's doing cool shit.
Talking nerd.
So I just want to turn you on real quick to this kid. This dude's name is Usman Riaz. He's Pakistani. He's 25 years old. He's got a Kickstarter page. My sister turned me onto this. He is working on Pakistan's first fully hand-drawn animated movie. And it's like an anime style. It's called The Glass Worker. This kid is he's a kind of a musical prodigy. He not only is he directing, he's also composing the music for The Glass Worker. And there's a little BuzzFeed article Jordan just posted. I'll have it in the show notes at jockandnerd.com/79.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I was
just going to be in English.
I think it's in English, or maybe I think it's going to be in English. And it's like it reminds me of Spirited Away, that anime Spirited Away, that kind of style. So I just wanted to shout out. Good for Usman Riaz for pushing a non stereotypical Pakistani and making me look bad because all I'm doing is this fucking stupid ass show. But
okay, now that we got that out of the way, Anthony, do you have anything to say about the Filipinas?
Yes, how about you? Let's get diverse.
And the Filipinas people.
This is the beauty of the show. It's very diverse.
I don't give a shit about any of this.
No, he doesn't give a fuck about any of them. it also reminded me, I had this t-shirt idea. You guys, would you buy this? I wanted to make a t-shirt that just said, I'm a nonviolent Muslim, with like a smiley face. I thought that would be hilarious. I thought that would be hilarious. All right, let's get into the news. We got a lot to talk about. Yeah, Jeeves, Usman Riaz is like a musical prodigy. Like, he plays the guitar, he composes the music, he's directed the movie. Check out the Kickstarter. It's actually quite beautiful animation. Now, Deadpool's out today. I'm dying to see it. I may see it tonight. I've just heard great things. So I got a bunch of Deadpool news I want to run through. Listener, have you seen Deadpool already? Send us a comment. Email us. Show at Chalkin.
We will be doing a show about it. So
we are going to do a Deadpool review show.
We'll read your review on the show.
Yeah, we'll read your comment. Send us an audio comment. We'll play it. We'll send us a tweet at Jock and Nerdcast, show@jockandnerd.com. We'd love to have your opinions and read them on our review show. I mean, this is what sometimes websites do this, and I hate it. An earlier report said Deadpool had 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I was like,
sure, because... Yeah, because it's an early report and there was like six reviews.
Yeah, there was six reviews. I was like, this is bullshit. So let's check in right now. Deadpool, I believe, is certified fresh at 84%.
Still good.
For whatever that's worth. For people who like to listen, that's a pretty good score. So I'm excited for that. Ryan Reynolds said this movie contains over 100 Easter eggs. So we're having a lot of fun poking apart the little scenes here and there. The sequel apparently has been greenlit, and Deadpool
is already being written.
It's being written. Deadpool's going to be in it, and he really wants to make X-Force, Ryan Reynolds. Like, he could have a lot of fun in this X-Men world now with Deadpool.
That can be cool, an X-Force movie with Cable and all that other thing.
Into the next point that Imran's going to probably make, but Cable is most likely going to be in the next.
Yep. Cable is, I mean, it might be called Deadpool and Cable, but Cable is definitely going to be in it. And Cable is Scott Summers' son from the future, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
Nathan Summers, I believe.
Summers. And he's a pretty cool character. I think he was in, the 90s animated series.
And yeah. What's his superpower? You can get a million channels? Like, what's his
he gets every Xfinity channel for free and all the unscrambled porno channels.
Oh, shit.
He's a great...
isn't he, like, he's jumped through time?
He's a time traveling dude.
I'm looking it up right now.
He's got, like, a cyborg arm, and he's a time traveler.
Telepathy, telekinesis, technopathy, expert marksman.
Technopathy.
According to Wikipedia.
So he can jump through time.
He can jump through time. He can control machines, can move things with his mind. That's pretty cool. He's a badass. I think that would be very cool. Like, the way Colossus looks cool, and like, I think Cable would look cool in this universe. We had talked about before how Deadpool was banned in China. Just completely banned out in China. Because I guess I learned China really doesn't have a movie rating system. Like, the movie has got to be acceptable to everybody, or they ain't going to look at it. So it's banned in China, but it's running into difficulties in other countries like India, which brings us to Bollywood. What they had to do, I believe, is like shorten like all the sex scenes. I think the sex is probably what would bother the Indian market the most. But it's interesting how they got to chop up this movie for different countries to get it to open. Despite all that, it had a record Thursday, February opening, right? 12.7 million. And that's and I believe that's the record for an R-rated, like, February
movie. It's on track to make 90, though.
That's what they're saying.
R-rated film, not February.
Okay, just R-rated. Do you think it's going to make 90 million? They raised the predictions for the opening weekend to 90 million.
It's a writer on there. I don't know if you're reading it. Right?
Oh, okay.
Analysts are predicting 65 or above. This writer on this article that you linked is predicting 92.
I know. I think it's high. I think it's going to be like 70, 80 something.
Yeah. I don't know.
If it made 12 on a Thursday, it's going to do double on Friday. So you just double that. That's 30. And then you double it again. That's another 30. You can get to 90 pretty fast.
You can get to 90 pretty fast. If word of mouth is good, and already it seems to be good, and if there's that many Easter eggs and it's worth multiple viewings, where you're like, I got to go back and see this?
I haven't heard people talk about going to see a movie like they've been talking about this lately. Like, right? Other than, like, of course, the big tentpole films. I'm talking about, like, a random movie that's coming out that, like, I wasn't even that excited about. Like, everybody's like, are you seeing Deadpool? Are you seeing Deadpool? Are we going to see Deadpool?
I mean, you got to credit the marketing of this movie.
Yeah. You had brought up in prior episodes, is it too much? Obviously not. I mean.
Oh, it's working.
We have, like Rugboy said, I've had coworkers that don't read comics at all talk about Deadpool.
Yeah.
Know who Deadpool is. So.
So the marketing worked
on the
masses. I don't
know if
it's going
to be 90 million, but. It's possible, I guess.
And there are two post-credit end scenes, people, so don't leave. You got to wait all the way to the end. They're pulling the fucking Marvel thing. Two scenes at the end. So that's exciting. Man, I would – yeah, I'm dying to see this movie. I think the multiple viewings might happen because I hear there's so many jokes that, like, you're laughing over jokes and you want to go see it again to catch the jokes you missed because you were laughing over them and stuff. So it's very exciting.
Have you done that, though? Watched a movie to see the jokes again?
Yeah. I mean, what do you do that?
I for comedies, I do that. I remember I did that for Clerks because it was, like, so funny every line. And I remember watching it again. I was like, oh, fuck, I missed that line because I laughed through it the first time.
But I'm saying going to the theater again.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. This movie might do it, though. It seems like a lot of fun. That's a good segue into my next bit of news. Comedy movies. I was on Twitter earlier this week, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I got all these tweets about Leslie Nielsen, rest in peace, dead at 84, like trending. And I was like, oh, Leslie Nielsen, I love Airplane. It was like, Airplane was like the first thing that introduced me to, like, adult comedy. Well, it turns out, folks, we've been reverse Abe Vigoda'd.
Oh, shit.
Whereas the Abe Vigoda joke was that he has been dying for 34 years while he was alive. Leslie Nielsen died in 2010, people. He's been dead for 5 years. But this whole hoopla brought this out. It's pretty funny. Like, somebody started retweeting a BBC article, and, like, people were tweeting, oh, my God, Leslie, without even checking the date on the article. But in honor – since we didn't have a show back then, now I get to honor the great Leslie Nielsen. I loved him in Airplane. I have some audio clips. There's this classic bit.
This woman has to be gotten to a hospital.
A hospital? What is it?
It's a big building with patients, but that's not important right now.
Anthony, do you ever watch Airplane?
Right.
Airplane, I've never seen.
You got to see it. There's a part where a lady, for no apparent reason, with her bouncy boobs, just goes in front of the camera and bounces her boobs and walks away.
It's like the first.
That's all I remember.
It's the first, like, adult comedy I remember being allowed to see, and I loved it so much. And who could forget? I just got one more, because this is the classic Leslie Nielsen. Everyone's heard this.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
It's just that kind of silly, slapsticky humor.
Nielsen, I remember him. My movies for him were Naked Gun movies.
Yeah, he was great. I mean, he was in movies for like 60 years. So rest in peace. Apparently, Leslie, people forgot that you've been dead for 5 years. So
nice beaver.
Yeah, nice. Thanks. I had it stuffed. Did you guys check out this this Daredevil from Marvel's Netflix Daredevil? The costume designer put out two pieces of art. He put out a piece of art that was the first version of the suit, and then he put out the one that they did now. I like the first version of the suit. This is kind of a little bit more what I wanted. What do you guys think of this?
I would have to agree, Imran. I think that first version is slightly better than the version they put on screen.
Well, that's not saying much. Like, anything's better.
Aside from the ears, though, I don't like the ear bit.
I don't like the ears. No, the ears look too cartoony, but everything else, that color looks a lot better.
It's more red. It actually has the double D interlocking logo designed by Wally Wood.
It's not as military-esque, like kind of a cap ripoff as the suit that they have.
Yeah.
On
screen, why didn't they just go with this one?
I think they're trying to make this world a little more grounded, and I think that this suit they felt might have been a little too out of left field for the show.
A little too bright maybe for it.
I don't understand why they did the thing like where they made the thing look like Batman's cowl.
Yeah,
over his nose. That's a Batman thing. Why are you making a Batman cowl? Daredevil always had his nose exposed. You know, he always did.
I read that his nose being exposed. I read something online where they tried his nose being exposed like this and you could tell that it was Charlie Cox.
Mm.
Like, it was too much of a giveaway that this was the actor that was playing the suit. But
if we buy it for Arrow and we buy it for everybody else, you think of
Captain America, but everyone knows Steve Rogers is Captain America. That's just general knowledge. So
he's in the Smithsonian.
Oh, yeah. He's got a museum exhibit. So maybe it just didn't work. I can get, but yeah, it looks awkward now with the Batman version cowl.
Affleck had his nose out. It was fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what I read. But I was thinking about Affleck as I said that night. He looked all right.
Jeeves says he doesn't like the horn. The thing is, you need the horn.
You need the horns.
It's like Spider-Man needs this spider somewhere on the costume.
This suit,
you need the horns.
That was one of the criticisms. Is this suit downplayed the horns almost too much.
Yeah, they're like tiny. They're tiny horns.
Yeah.
Tiny horns. So, hey, you guys, you know, remember we had this debate about how far apart Metropolis and Gotham are in the DC universe, the way they play things. Well, we've kind of found out. There's this link from comicbook.com. They're across the river from each other, about 10 miles.
Oh, shit.
That's really it. And there's a ferry connecting.
That sounds like bullshit.
Right? There's a ferry connecting Gotham City to Metropolis in this world.
Is it like
Jersey City and Manhattan? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, or more like Hoboken and Manhattan. Just you take the little ferry across, 10 miles across. But did you guys catch those Super Bowl spots from the Turkish Airlines?
Those travels. Those were super strange.
They were really weird. It was very interesting. Like, the Gotham one had Affleck as Bruce Wayne talking to the camera. It's like, I'm Bruce Wayne, and I'm bringing back Gotham. Come visit. And then in the Metropolis one, they got Lex Luthor going, thanks to LexCorp, Metropolis is built up again. And come visit Metropolis.
It was a clear plug for Turkish Airlines, obviously. But it just was strange because why would Turkish Airlines be operating? I mean, we're presuming this is the U.S., but why would they be flying like from city to city?
Plus, the city is so close. Why would you go to a city that's 10 miles away?
I don't think they were advertising. I think they were advertising visit these cities as like a tourist destination, but it's kind of weird.
So now we know, though, in this world, they're neighbors.
Everyone flies Turkish Airlines.
Everybody flies Turkish Airlines, and it's like the twin cities, like Minneapolis, St. Paul, or fucking something.
Yeah.
It seems a little too convenient for my taste.
Whatever.
I'll tell you what. Kevin Smith's getting a late night talk show. Another one, guys. If you love Fatman on Batman, he's getting a show on AMC called Geeking Out. It's going to premiere this summer at San Diego Comic-Con, and it's going to be Kevin Smith and the dude from Heroes and Alias, and I guess he was in Star Wars. What's his name? Greg Gunberg.
You know what? I'm turning on Kevin Smith.
You know what? I that's funny you say that. I thought I would be excited for this, but I'm like, is this even necessary? It seems 5 years too late of an idea. He's already got his shows. He's the Fat Man on Batman kind of has a video aspect now with him and Mark Bernard, and they like have a set and it's on YouTube, and then they just put the audio as a podcast. This seems just a little late for its time. Like, what more can he do?
I won't even go with it being, I mean, it is a little late, but I feel like, first off, Kevin Smith is a little dated, his whole act. And second, the whole, like, I'm a fat guy and I'm into comics and I'm the face of nerd culture, like, that has already shifted. Like, Grant Gustin is the Flash and he's a super nerd and he's a good-looking dude. Like, we don't need this, for lack of a better term, he dresses like the sloppy fat guy on TV.
Is he a nerd? Grant Gustin?
Grant Gustin plays the Flash. They play him off as a nerd.
Oh, you mean I'm saying in real
the
life.
The media is even embracing nerds as being good-looking people. And he's 10 years past his due date, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Yeah, you're talking about some two old fucks right here.
Well, but
I'm not saying the old. I'm saying
roll over and die?
His whole shtick of being like super excited and like, oh, I'm over. I'm wearing a. I'm not well kept, and I'm wearing a jersey all the time. Like, come
I mean,
on, dude.
I love Kevin Smith, but I may slightly agree the shtick is over 20 years old. I mean, it's the same Kevin Smith that we had when he made Clerks. Now at the time, that was the 90s. That was
and if you ever listen to the podcast,
yeah.
Like his. I mean, you listen to it, Imran, but I mean, the guy never bashes anything. Like he is a sucker for everything.
That's my fear is what kind of like if you want an analytical geek perspective, you're not going to get it with this.
You need to get that from somebody who has no ties that you can see. Right. If he says something, he's going to fuck himself over. So that's what happens. You can't be one of those guys that is a critic that you can trust. Like look at Harry Knowles from Ain't It Cool News. Like he used to write scathing reviews and he used to review the shit out of movies. And all of a sudden now he just can't say anything bad because he's become friends with everybody in the industry, and he can't even be critical.
That's a good point.
But you lose credibility, and everything is awesome. Not everything is awesome. We all know this. Everything is not awesome.
Yeah, everything's shit for the most part.
In fact, a lot of things are shit. He had Josh Trank on, and then by the time the movie came out, he was like, I can't do part four.
Yeah, that was when like it's so transparent now, dude. I don't know. So I thought I'd be excited, but I'm like, man, this is gonna be a fluff, more fluff. I love the guy. I don't know. We'll see.
You kind of look AMC. Like him, though.
So. That's the thing. I have like a kinship. I feel like we're on the same brainwaves, and we would really get well along together. Like we could hang out. We have a lot of things in common.
Is it like comic book men coming back too?
That's going to come back probably when Walking Dead comes back. I think that comes back on the same night.
Maybe this is what you were referring to too, but I think AMC is like doing a lot more nerd programming.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, do you have Chris Hardwick, right? Is that the new nerd? A young, skinny, you know, dude?
If
like
anyone,
that?
Yeah, I'd point to Chris Hardwick as the guy, as the face right now, right?
But he can get a little bit much. Also,
yeah,
small doses.
I liked Kevin Pereira. I thought he was kind of cool.
Who was Kevin Pereira?
Was he on G4?
Yeah, he was on G4. Yeah. He was really, really smart, and he was a good interviewer. And I mean, I don't think he knows a lot about comics, but he knew a lot about video games and pop culture. So, and I think he's good at researching and acting like he knows shit. So that's even better.
And you were right about Harry Knowles. Ain't It Cool News used to be – I used to go there every day, I remember. And then I'm like, whoa, what happened to them? I totally forgot that they're even still a site.
They still have, like, the same backgrounds, too.
It's like – yeah, that's the other thing. It looks like it's the fucking –
black and white Godzilla background.
Yeah, late 90s. So you're like, is this an updated website? Okay, gang, finally, we're going to wrap up with the most exciting shit that happened this weekend is we had a couple of new spots and a new trailer – that was quite
geek boner,
geek-tastic. Let's start with the Captain America Civil War spot. Really short spot. Quick cuts. What'd you guys think?
It was cool. I try not to look at it because I don't want to like ruin the movie.
Mm.
So I like watch it with one eye open.
Are you able to blink? I thought your eyes are always open.
Well, I can choose not to look at a one.
I mean, it didn't really give away a lot. There was a little bit of new things here and there. Still no Spider-Man, but that's okay. I was kind of hoping there was.
You know, I read actually something about that.
Yeah.
It might be deliberate. I hope that it's deliberate. But I also read that part of Sony's deal is that they can't use Spidey to advertise other movies, really. So they kind of have to keep him hidden.
That's what I read, too. So, you know what? If they're forced to do that, that's even a better reveal
that's
for the
better,
movie.
Though. Yeah.
You're going to be like, whoa, what the fuck? I had not
a week
not
before
see that
the coming. Movie, they're going to throw Spider-Man in there.
If not even then, you know. But you get to see, I think this is good, you know, during the Super Bowl for America, because you clearly get to see the sides now.
Yeah.
You see on one side, Falcon, Ant-Man, Hawkeye, Captain America, Scarlet Witch, and Bucky, Winter Soldier, right? And on the other side of the team, you have Iron Man, Black Widow, War Machine, The Vision, and Black Panther.
Oh, shit.
That is a way overpowered team. How is this even a fair fight, people?
There's a lot of theories I read online. I think Scarlet Witch is the one that is going to have to be the heavy hitter for Cap's team. But I also read that since the Vision is like this kind of all thinking, all knowing sort of character, like this a little bit higher level and kind of has this a little bit more reasonable. He might not be going as hard on everybody.
Oh.
Because he
is he's not like a mindless monster with a lot of power.
He's got the damn one of the Infinity Gems in his head. He should be able to wipe out everybody.
But maybe he's developing feelings.
Right.
I have feelings now.
I liked it. I thought the 30 seconds, it's only 30 seconds. So
30 seconds, but.
The chant was a little weird.
Yeah.
But I wasn't a big chanting? Fan of the chant. It was going united, we stand.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Divided, we stand. They weren't doing, like, it wasn't the. It was like united we fall, divided we fall. It wasn't the exact quote that everyone thinks it is.
Yeah. And then somebody says, you've chose the wrong side.
I like that. I mean, that was a nice end button scene. That was Tony Stark saying that.
Yeah, that was awesome. You know, as overpowered as Tony's team is, we do know that Rhodey goes down at some point. So maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe the team is more balanced than I think it is.
Yeah. Do you think War Machine's going to be taken out of the game? We saw that in the commercial.
Yeah, they keep showing that.
Well, I think the Vision's not on the same side as the Scarlet Witch, right?
No, right.
Because they hook up in the comics, don't they?
That's correct.
Hmm. Also, Spider-Man is probably going to be on Team Stark in the beginning.
I have to mention the coolest spot in the whole trailer was Iron Man, Tony Stark putting on the metal glove to stop a bullet.
Yeah, that's crazy. What's going on there? Bucky's got a gun
drawn in his face. Bucky's brainwashed because if he isn't and he's shooting at Tony Stark, then I've kind of flipped over to like, what the fuck? Iron Man's probably right. This guy's an asshole. I mean, shoot him in the face.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know the context, but it's awesome how he stops it. He's got a little fingerless Iron Man glove that you could throw on and it absorbed the bullet. That was pretty bad.
It's actually an Apple Watch.
The iWatch does that? Is there an app?
That's the newest version.
Mine doesn't.
You ain't on the Apple Watch?
Oh, shit.
I'm not into the wearable techs yet. I want one embedded into my temple. Just a little thing.
Since I've been working on the show, I can afford Apple Watches and all kinds of shit like that.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're getting the paychecks. What?
Yeah, I put it on right before I go and get my Bentley.
Son of a bitch, they're sponsoring you, not us.
Yeah. I ain't tell you.
Checks
have been rolling in.
Fuck.
But how come you walk around with no pants? You still can't afford
pants. He's looking for a pants sponsor.
Hey, listen. I make my own rules.
Everybody wants to
hang out wherever I want.
There's a
that's what being a famous celebrity is all about, kids.
If there's a clothing company out there that wants to sponsor Rug Boy's pants, let us know. Show at jockandnerd.com. Now, there was another big trailer that came out that was very exciting. The final trailer for Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Geek Booner.
And I'll tell you,
I didn't watch it.
You didn't watch this? Didn't?
No.
Why?
Can I jump in then?
Do you not want to watch it, Ruggs?
I did not want to watch it.
Okay, let's. I'll tell you what. It's a pretty fucking good trailer. I wish they hadn't put out that second shitty trailer and just went with this trailer. Anthony, go ahead. What'd you think?
No, I echo your thoughts, Aaron, because one of my friends is actually the one that got me aware of it. And he's like, I'm fully sold. I'm in on this movie. It's like, all right, I'll watch this trailer. Mm. And it was a really damn good trailer, actually. The tone was, it looked like a lot of comic book fun. Because the first two trailers, in my opinion, were very like dour. And it's like, oh, fuck, we're going down this road again. The third one was really wacky. Like, well, what the fuck? This fourth one was actually the perfect trailer. And in my opinion, usually most big movies do three trailers. They don't do four. Most. Huh. If you look up online, it's by trailer one. It's usually a teaser. And then like three trailers.
This was the fourth trailer?
This was the fourth trailer. And I think what happened is they looked at the third trailer and there was so much negative buzz that they were like, we need to make up for this shit.
Wow. The trailer before
I haven't read that anywhere.
Does it look
like it's assembled to be good? Or is it, do you think that it looks like it's a quantity of good stuff?
Well,
you can edit something to make it seem like something else.
Yes. I'll tell you what. The opening part of this trailer is pretty badass. It focuses on Batman and a fight scene.
Oh, yeah.
And you see, this is what I love, you see a suit that you could actually wear and fight in. It kind of looks like Arkham Asylum. He's moving and the fight scenes look amazing. Like, it looks badass. Like, this is finally the Batman we've been waiting for. This is kind of finally the trailer we've been waiting for. And the suit looks great.
That was my main criticism of the Nolan films is when Batman fights – the scenes aren't shot well, in my opinion. They're too staticky. You can't tell what's going on. And
it's stiff.
You don't feel, yeah, you don't feel the choreography needs to be tighter. You don't feel like this is actually a guy that can whip nine people's asses. Yeah. It feels like these are guys just running at him at one at a time, and he's just punching them. Whereas this scene, at least the way they cut it, he's jumping around, he's flipping around, he's kicking one guy while he's jumping over a box. Yeah. Like he's, you know, using espionage to jump into like the middle of a warehouse. He's
Ruggs. It's amazing. He busts in. It's so video game Batman. He busts through the bottom of the floor and he takes down nine guys and you buy it. This is possibly the best cinematic fighting of Batman I've ever seen. Like the most.
I want to watch this fucking trailer.
You just watched the beginning, dude.
You get Alfred kind of like helping him out, taking more of a proactive role, and it works. And it feels like Arkham Asylum. Like Alfred's in your ear telling you, all right. He basically goes to Batman and goes, there's nine thugs. Thermal heat signatures suggest nine thugs.
He's flying the bat drone for him. Yeah.
So back to Rugboy's point about a trailer being cut well, I think this is that case only because I saw the third trailer. If I never saw the third trailer, I'd be like, this movie is good. This movie I'm fully in. With this trailer, I'm just like, I don't know what the fuck I'm going to see now.
Dude, here's...
After the third one, I'm like... I don't think this movie's going to be good. Now, after the fourth one, it's making me go, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Yes, I don't know what to expect anymore. Yeah. Here's what else we see, Ruggs. We see a little bit of Wonder Woman flying attack, which is awesome. You hear her
talking.
You hear her speak a line, and I like her accent. It's very sexy. There's also a scene where Batman is blocks a punch from Superman.
Oh, shit.
He stops him, and he stares at him. So possibly, maybe, I'm like, is there kryptonite in this battle armor?
That was a perfect scene to end that trailer.
Yes, this is actually finally a well-cut trailer. Now, Anthony, do you remember, wasn't the last trailer for Man of Steel also pretty good and maybe made it seem like the movie was going to be really good?
I don't particularly remember the last trailer, but I do remember the first couple teasers, and I thought those were pretty good. So I thought my anticipation to Man of Steel was actually that I thought it was going to be really good.
Yeah, man, this was a...
Based on the trailer. Yeah. I mean, same thing with Godzilla. They gave you an idea thinking that Godzilla was going to cause all this damage, but then at the end of the day, he didn't do that much damage at all.
Right.
So they can mislead you, the trailers. You got to watch out.
I still think the music's a little generic. The trailer was very exciting. I still think the movie's got a lot of work to do, man. You just stop and think about all the shit they're trying to do. And it makes me nervous. I don't know. I love the trailer. I love the Batman part. It was fucking incredible. So.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah. You guys, did you catch any thoughts on any of the other spots during Super Bowl weekend? There was the X-Men spot with that awesome Psylocke shot of her cutting the car. That was
She looks just like Psylocke.
Holy shit, she looks amazing. David Mowgli says he's getting ready to go see the Deadpool movie. I'm jelly because I got to sit here. And do this.
No, I agree that she looks really good.
Holy shit, she looks amazing.
I'm still a little on the fence on Apocalypse, so on the whole movie.
It looks pretty epic.
I don't know. I watched that the X-Men movie again, and I really liked the one
that
Bryan Singer did. The
Days of Future Past. Yeah, that's a good movie.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one.
So, it's really a good film. So,
yeah, that's good.
I feel like he's going to do an okay job with this. Hopefully, I mean it's set in that new continuity, and it'll make it new for us because all these things that already passed have not passed again.
Yeah.
So they're going to reshape everything. It might be interesting.
It's a reset, David.
I don't know. I don't think Wolverine is in the new one.
I don't think he's because he's they're doing another. They're doing another Wolverine. One last Wolverine movie.
Wolverine film. Yeah.
But, man, moving forward, who knows where the Deadpool and the Wolverine, the X-Men will all meet in this crazy Fox universe. It's going to be great. Yeah, Days of Future Past, probably one of the better. I think X-Men 2 was really good, too.
I would go with, if I had to vote, X-Men First Class was my
favorite. Oh, First Class was really good, too. They really, they're doing a good job with that. All right, gang, let's talk about this week's shows. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
And Nerd.
Spoiler alert.
That's our first official spoiler alert. This is the Jock and Nerd Podcast. Thanks for joining us. We are going to be talking about this week's brand new, fresh, spanking episode of Agent Carter, Marvel's Agent Carter, Season 2, Episode 5, called The Atomic Job.
I heard it's being canceled.
Well, Let's start with that. I don't think it's being canceled. Harris, news came out that Peggy Carter, what the fuck's her name? Haley Atwell is, she's been cast in the lead of another ABC series called
But I also saw that Conviction. There was a headline saying that they didn't renew the show.
Really? I didn't see that headline. This started the rumor, is Agent Carter done after this season? Are they not picking it up? But there's also a counter rumor saying they're going to shoot around this. She could do both, possibly. But now, Ruggs, you're saying that you saw that the show is done?
Yeah, but I saw it on the internet, so that doesn't mean that it's real.
If it was from Movie Pilot, don't fucking believe anything on this. You know why? Because I could post a Movie Pilot. That's why. I'm just saying. That's all.
Yeah, you're not. Yeah. You're right. That'd be kind of – I mean, the show is only, what, eight episodes?
Eight episodes. So they could easily – she could do both. They could shoot around those.
Yeah. I just heard that the ratings were sagging.
Yeah, I seen that in the article, but then it also was written that the ratings are not great, but it has a high DVR download or DVR recording. So,
because I think it goes up against The Flash, right? Or is it after?
No, they stagger the time.
Really. So, yeah.
Well, the ratings may be saggy, but we know something that's not.
Listen, the ratings are the only thing that's saggy on this show. Let me tell you, Peggy Carter this week, what happens? What did you guys think of this week? They're trying to steal some I'm going to get everything confused. They're trying to find that body.
They're trying to find the body, and then
they found the body.
What's her name? Whitney Frost, the body first, going after nuclear warheads because she wanted to test the zero matter. That's the whole gist of the whole thing.
Well, we find out that the zero matter makes Wilkes tangible for a second.
For a little bit, yeah. And, they're both kind of drawn to it.
Yeah,
it calls to them.
And
Whitney Frost.
Yeah. But she gets there first and absorbs the whole thing. And she's like, I need an atomic bomb. Just like out of nowhere.
Right.
I'm like, what?
Yeah, she just said, I need an atomic bomb. Yeah. I was like, what?
What the fuck are you thirsty?
I don't get it.
She needs an A bomb to recreate the thing so she could get more dark force energy. She wants the zero matter. They all want the zero matter.
So she wants to create like a explosion to make more zero matter, or you just use the plutonium?
I read it as they were saying, oh, she's a scientist, so she's going to want to test everything. So it's another, I think she's just testing her powers or testing the zero matter. I wasn't all that clear on it.
She wanted to recreate that same incident that she saw on the film.
Yeah, that's for sure what they're alluding to. But I didn't know why would you want to? What did it open up the portal to zero matter, or does she able to suck in the atomic energy? I don't really get.
Who knows? This bitch is crazy. She got a big black crack on her face. She's sucking in animals and people's shit.
I have something I want to talk about, but I don't know if you're ready to talk about it yet.
Have to do with this show?
Do I have to be emotionally ready or like...
My body is ready.
My mind and body is yours, Rex.
All right, so basically Agent Carter died, and then they just pulled her off the thing, and she was fine.
She was never dead.
No, she got impaled in the side,
dude.
She got impaled through her stomach. She has like internal bleeding.
Her
pancreas is leaking.
It missed all the vital organs.
Oh, I leaned it on my pancreas.
How did they get her off that?
Tell
me how they get her off that. And then she just rolls over on a couch.
Comics, man.
There's
plenty of things to question if you're going to...
She should have been dead. She did get fucking impaled. It's 1947. Nobody survives a fucking impalement, but...
I wasn't expecting that.
No.
I wasn't expecting her to get impaled. I thought she was going to fall on a stack of plywood. I didn't think she was going to fall on random impaling.
But you know she's not going to die. I was like, she's hurt.
It's just... How's she going to be backing out? Like, that type of injury will fuck you up. Like, you can...
She has a punching bag to train on to rehab.
But I guess if Captain America would have gotten impaled, he would be fine. But he's got powers, whatever.
She doesn't have any powers. That's a pretty devastating injury. What about this wacky team they put together for this episode?
I loved it.
I rather enjoyed this team of
I liked it a lot.
Carter being the most badass out of all of them. Sousa, Jarvis, Rose, the secretary, and fucking Dr. Samberly, the goofy-ass scientist.
Who loves Rose.
And he loves Rose, and their little bits where she's, like, giving him confidence were so great. This is a great – and Rose is fucking badass, though, dude. This fucking woman will take you down. She don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I liked it. I mean, they're putting women in roles that are traditionally male roles. like the heavy of the team was Rose, not only because she's heavy set, but because she could actually fight.
She was the muscle of that team. And Samberly was hilarious.
The main villain's woman. Like, you know, it's like Whitney Frost is kind of the big bad out of her, but controlling a man in this one. It's all gender roles that have been flipped.
Dude, she fucking puts Chadwick in his place, too, that one moment where he gets a little bit snippy with her.
He gets a little mouthy.
He gets a little mouthy. And, like, again, you reverse these, and it would be like, oh, my God, he's a batterer. But, like, she fucking grabs him. She's like, watch that tone. That's what she says. And he's like, oh, fuck, I got to listen to her. I love the memory inhibitor gag.
That was funny.
This was a really funny episode overall. Like, probably the funniest episode this season.
Well, Jarvis is like, his one-liners and his facial expressions when he's stuck in the nuclear, trying to figure out the nuclear reactor, whatever the hell it is. I mean, he's funny. The whole show, to me, is it very, like, kind of slapstick. They've taken on that, like, slapstick tone.
Yeah, it's like,
I think it works.
It needs to have that.
Yeah. Because it totally does work.
Not realistic at all.
No, because she got, like,
you got to make a joke out of a lot of things.
She got impaled and didn't die. So she zaps the dude, like, six times. I love Samberly's line when Rose is like, that was my pie. He goes, that pie was yours? That pie's in me? I like pie. Pie is good. He's just fucking stammering. I loved him in this. It was so good. I love the 40s Reservoir Dog shot. Where
they're walking?
Yes, Bing Crosby and the Andrews sisters. This is way old school. Nobody's going to know what I'm talking about. Lay That Pistol Down is a fucking awesome, like, Western swing song. So it was like if the Reservoir Dogs had been filmed in the 40s, slow motion walking, and they're playing this Western swing badass song. It was awesome. And then he kind of, like, trips. It's really good.
I enjoyed that Easter egg.
And Whitney Frost is pretty strong, huh? She takes a punch, and she's like, that should hurt more.
Yeah, I mean, Carter shouldn't be able to hang with her at all.
No.
I mean, Whitney Frost, we've seen Whitney Frost just suck pot life out of people. So that's what I was wondering about is how they were going to handle fight scenes between them. And it looks like
it was good. It was pretty real. It was quick, you know?
I don't know if it's realistic, but they're just kind of like not acknowledging at times when they're fighting that she can just use her powers.
It's true. And she should be able to just.
I still think she doesn't know exactly what she could do, even with all the testing. That's it. I mean, aside from Violet sees Sousa and Peggy and how he was acting with her, and she totally. Well, so poor Sousa. He proposes to the girl in the same episode where she's like, oh, you're still in love with Peggy. I see now.
That's the only thing about the show.
All the same episode.
I don't like that there's a four-way love square, I guess, going on now.
Yeah, it's annoying.
But other than that, the show is pretty harmless, and it's kind of it's pretty funny.
It's been fun. And then at the end, we find out, we see Wilkes talks about, like, this dark matter comes from a dark place, and he knows more than he's letting on, and then he, like, disappears. He blinks out. Some fucking shit happened. Wilkes is gone. Boom.
It's implied that, like, the dark matter can, like, talk to him or something, or, like, he's seeing things or hearing things.
Well, he keeps seeing the crack in places, like the dimensional crack. And I guess next week it looks like Carter is going to need Dottie's help and team up and take down
That'll
Frost.
Be interesting.
Yeah, two-on-one and, girl fight. Awesome.
And it's more of a women, like, in-gen male role thing.
Yeah.
Like, another woman assassin. Like, it's all gender.
Yeah, they're milking this whole thing.
Heavy feminist action on Agent Carter, people. So no one can complain.
Unless it was Supergirl and it was hitting you over the head with it.
Yeah.
Oh, see? My God, two women?
This is
what are you doing, women out here? That's what Supergirl would do.
This should be a man. But
this is a man's job.
This is how you do it properly, CBS. Take note. All right, enough with this show. I'll talk about the next show, which was really good.
Doc and Nerd.
Strap yourselves in, you fucks. Spoiler time.
Holy crap, people. We're talking about this week's new episode of The Flash. This is the Jock and Nerd Podcast, Season 2, Episode 13. The title alone gives me
Geek Booner.
Welcome to Earth 2. Holy crap. We got to break this down from the beginning, dude. So much awesome shit happened. Who wants to start?
Oh, man. I mean, if we're starting from the beginning.
Well, right at the start, what are they doing? They're closing down all the breaches, all 52 of them. Save for one. And Ruggs, didn't you say they were going to do that?
Yes.
That was me. Well, that was me too.
Oh, you
no,
both?
It was Anthony. I always take credit for whatever Anthony says.
Well, Anthony,
I'm the one that was like, they're going to close all of them except one, so that there's only one way in and one way out.
Yeah, I would never think of that.
I think that's because I think Anthony also looks like a puppet. I get you confused.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
So they're closing all the breaches, blah, blah, blah. And finally, Barry and Wells 2 and Cisco are going to go to Earth 2, leaving behind Joe West and Caitlin. And Jay Garrick. And Jay tells them, listen, when you're going through this thing, don't get distracted. Don't look around. He says, don't get emotionally invested even. I was like, what the fuck is going to happen when they step through this thing?
It's a clear red herring for you to look at everything.
Yes, that means pay close attention to the weird, right, trippy shapes in this next scene. And so the first flash, they're heading through. They show us twice. They're going through the dimensional speed cannon. What do we see? Who wants to tell us? What did you think you see there?
I'll start because I think I called you, Imran, after I saw the first.
You did, right away.
And I saw, it looks like, from what rumors are saying, Connor Hawk, but it looked like to me just Green Arrow.
Okay.
Which wasn't all that big of a surprise. But then you saw Wesley Shipp, Flash TV show from the 90s.
Yeah, you saw him.
Geek Boner.
That was awesome.
And then you saw Supergirl.
Super!
Geek Boner.
Oh, my God. So,
and that's exactly the reaction I had. Do you want me to go over on the way back?
Just so we can. What do we see in that second cut, in that second time they're zipping through? It's the same time. They're still going there. Yeah.
Yeah. So then you see Jonah Hex.
Yep.
You see a ring from Legion of Superheroes. And then what was the last one, Emerald?
Grodd.
Grodd.
You see Grodd. All these things. Now we know they did this in the first season when he traveled back in time and you saw all these flashes of things to come.
Right. And now they're paying off. They were kind of paying off in this episode a little bit because you saw Frost.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any chance of John Wesley Shipp putting on the old red tights?
Possible. Why not? Anything. Dude.
That's the thing about that.
Anything is fucking possible now. So they've just confirmed that there's a multiverse out there that exists, that all the shows on separate networks kind of exist in the same multiversity.
Even you could, at this point, that why I was so excited is not only is it every show, but it basically says anything can fucking happen, and that it basically acknowledges that we can connect to the movies, we can connect to the TV shows, we can connect it. I think it was the single most exciting thing DC has done on television.
Because it kind of works out the kinks that Ezra Miller and Grant Gustin are playing Flash in this extended universe. Now, can we just pause for a moment and appreciate that we are fucking in Earth 2 on a TV show?
Oh, shit.
I never thought any of, like, they're just doing everything. It's unbelievable, this show. It's so great.
I loved it. I loved that. I really, really think
about it. We all knew about Earth 2 because this guy's been. So what's so surprising about
to actually go there and hang out there and for them to drop all these Easter eggs?
I'm not as excited that they were on Earth 2. Like, I'm not as surprised like Imran is, but the Easter eggs that were dropped on the way to Earth 2 to me were a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. I mean, I like that they're showing the shared universe. It's cool because I don't think we've had that before so blatant. And, yeah, I can't wait to see how they tie it all together.
Especially across networks like that.
Yeah.
Across networks and across different eras of television.
Is there anything that you'd like to see? Like Adam West just pop in there? Like, could they ever?
It's all possible, though.
Could they ever cross into Gotham? How could you work that in? Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be another Earth.
Another universe.
They've literally explained how they could do all this just by showing that brief clip.
So let me ask you this question, though. All the breaches that they closed, did they all just go to Earth 2?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
It was all Earth 2.
So they can't get to the other Earths yet.
Yet, no. Ah. But there will be ways.
So the only thing I wasn't familiar with was the Legion of Superheroes. You saw a ring with an L, and it's a superhero team. From the 30th or 31st century in the future, first appearance, 1958, and they have actually appeared in the Superman Animated Adventure Series, JLU, in their own cartoon, and they've been on Smallville, the Legion, members of the Legion.
There's some sort of tie to, I read online, I don't know if this was true, to Booster Gold.
Oh, well, Rip is Booster Gold's son.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Hunter is Booster Gold's son. That's how that works out, yeah.
So why wasn't his name Rip Gold?
I don't, because that's just as stupid as Booster Gold.
Well, Booster Gold named himself Booster Gold.
I know that. I'm just being a dick.
So, dude, I loved how everyone on Earth 2 is kind of opposite who they were. We got to see
a very fun episode.
Yeah. We got to see Henry Hewitt, who was Tokamak, bad guy, who's a very nice guy here.
Super nice.
We got to see Mayor Snart. The mayor is Snart. I don't know which Snart. He's one of the Snarts.
I would assume Leonard.
You think it's Leonard?
Yeah.
Somehow becomes a fucking mayor. I love Barry and Cisco taking selfies. That was pretty funny. And Barry is a big dweeb on Earth 2.
He's basically
Spider-Man. He's a selfish dweeb.
He's a selfish dweeb who wears a bow tie. Everything is like 40s. Like Jitterbugs is like a 40s jazz club. And Joe West is a singer, not a detective. Iris is a detective.
That actor can actually sing in real life. Like, yeah. That's really him singing. Iris is the big detective. Then Caitlin is Killer Frost.
Ronnie is Deathstorm, opposite, evil.
Cisco is Reaver.
And then the best reveal at the end was so fucking Cisco's doppelganger comes out and he's Reverb and he's showing him what he could do with these powers. That was some of my favorite bits where he blasts the dude and Cisco's like, whoa, 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 you're saying I could do that? It's like, yes, I could show you. I love that bit at the end, the turn they try to double cross Zoom and Zoom just shows up and takes them all out.
Yeah.
Gangsta.
Ronnie dies again. Gangsta. Yeah. I think we'll see them again, though, in some shape or form, now that it's all time travel-y, shifty, parallel universes. There's no reason they can't show up somewhere else. Because it would be a shame to think that Reverb is done.
You know what the best moment of the show was?
Yeah.
I give you a great Easter egg and then the best moment. This show was a ton of fun, seeing these characters in kind of like oddball situations. There was stakes because Barry ends up getting captured, but the best part was you see the phone.
Yes.
You see on the phone, Hal, Diana, Bruce.
Yep.
So which is their Flash's friends in Earth 2. But then I think the best part for me was his conversation with his mom.
Oh, dude.
I think that was the emotional kicker right there.
Very well done.
Where he gets to talk to his mom for the first time in X amount of years.
That was awesome.
Really great smelling the farts acting by Grant Gustin.
Yeah, there was a lot of smell of fart acting.
Did you notice where she took a trip, where he got her tickets to?
Atlantis!
Geek Booner!
There's Easter eggs everywhere. But, like, that moment, it made me think about, like, my dad. Like, I've talked about my dad died of cancer 20 years ago, but it made me think about, like, going in an alternate universe and, like, wow, he nailed that. And
he nailed it, yeah.
Maybe we see some kind of flashpointy thing still in the future. I don't know.
I mean, can you imagine, like you said, your dad or any lost loved one, you get, like, after 25 years, you get a chance to talk to them. Whether it be the same person or not, it's still the same voice.
Yeah.
And how emotional that would be. I thought that was the best part of the whole show.
Yeah.
It's definitely a cathartic moment.
He did a great job. So we also find out that Jay was lying to Caitlin a little bit. So back on Earth 1, they got the Geomancer running around. And Joe and Jay and Caitlin have got to deal with it somehow. And Joe's like a drug pusher. He's like, dude, just take the Velocity 6. And she's like, I can't. And he tells Caitlin that he lied. Zoom didn't really steal his speed. He's just a speed junkie. He's been taking like speed heroin and it's killing him.
Oh, shit.
Oh, is that what that was?
That's what he said, the Velocity 6. So basically what this is, because the drug, there's a version of it called Velocity 9. This is a way for Caitlin to keep working the drug to get to Velocity 9 that actually works. Because we kind of see him use it a little bit with Geomancer. He does a cool little new speed move, like the helmet punch, sound wave punch.
The reverb off the helmet.
Yeah. I mean, Jay finally did something, though. Mickey Jiggle says that character is so throwaway. And you're right. We've complained that, like, what the fuck is Jay doing? He's here. He's gone. He contributes nothing.
They just haven't utilized the character, really.
Because he's Zoom.
Or is Hunter Zolomon Zoom? His doppelganger. Or is Jay Garrick Zoom? Ruggs, you think Jay Garrick is Zoom?
I don't know. I think that it could be a red herring that he says that this guy is the evil Zoom guy or the guy who ends up becoming Zoom or... It's an inside thing that we know that he's Zoom, that name, Hunter Zolomon. I don't think regular people know that shit.
There's a lot of Zooms, though.
So I think maybe it's a red herring that guy in the park has got the same name as Zoom, and they're trying to throw us off.
And it's really Jay.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I don't know if you floated that before on here, but that's a pretty good theory.
No, that's the first
time. I have.
Yeah.
I don't remember hearing that. Dude, there are so many.
I said it was going to be either Barry's dad – Jay Garrick or the Thawn kid, that one that was going to marry Eddie Thawn. Iris.
Oh, hey,
Eddie.
What about Earth 2 Wally West? We haven't seen him around. Maybe his name is Daniel in this world. And in the comic books, New 52, Daniel West is also a Reverse Flash.
Nah.
No? Nah, you don't think so? I love this mystery, dude. They're doing such a good job because I have no
idea. I'm super glad that they're on Earth 2 and that they're staying there for at least the next episode.
Every episode, I change my mind who Zoom is, and it's great. Yeah, so, man, there are so many great things, like Caitlin going, God, this is making me so hot. Like, I love seeing, like, a slutty, bad version of Caitlin. It was very, very exciting. Oh, and then Cisco going, are you Cloud? Are you Darth Vader Cloud? Oh, what does he say? Are you Cloud City Vadering me right now to Reverb? Like, just a great reference.
No, it's great. I don't have, I mean, I'm just going to keep heaping praise on this episode. It was really
this
good.
Show did get the highest ratings The Flash has had since December of 2014.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
It's been building in the ratings. A couple more things. At the end, Barry finally gets to experience the shit that he's been putting all these evil metahumans to, being that he's got to sit in a cage without a bed or a bathroom and figure out what to do with himself. Now you know what it feels like, fucker. But he's there. Zoom captures him. Jesse's there. There's a dude in an iron mask tapping on the window.
Yeah, that was weird.
Who's that guy?
That's strange.
That's Leonardo DiCaprio.
Wasn't he? He played that in the movie.
Oh, shit.
And then Zoom comes up, and he's right in his face, and he's like, look around. This is the last place you're ever going to see. So good, dude. I was like, oh, fuck. What are they going to do now?
Having Zoom as the main villain, as the guy behind the scenes, pulling the strings, that's a master stroke for them. They really needed somebody that you could rally, you know, into hating and wanting to end the mystery. So they really nailed this season. They don't fuck it up. You know, a lot of people are saying that this is way better than Arrow, way better than anything else on TV superhero wise, other than the Netflix stuff. So whatever they're doing it right.
The only thing that rubbed me the wrong way this episode was, and when I was watching it, the Barry's decisions weren't making sense. He was kind of being a selfish asshole too, because look,
he was making too much of a scene.
Yeah. He's being dramatic. They came there to save Jesse, to get Wells' daughter. And he's like, no, fuck you. This is my family, whatever dimension. When it's really not Barry.
It's because he gets to make out with Iris.
Well, that's I think...
That ruined his whole penis.
Like, I know.
Threw him all out of whack. He was like, the girl I've been wanting to bone, that's my sister my whole life, and now we can bone?
You know what? I think that would erase the whole plan from my mind, too. Because she looked really good at Earth, too. And I was like, oh, snap, they're married?
When she takes control of him, it was actually pretty hot.
Okay, so
I like that the first thing that Iris does when she gets home is take off her shirt.
Yeah, oh, my God, she started undressing in front of him, and he's, like, hiding. And I was like, God damn, this is a...
Like, not even in the bedroom, just, like, right in the living room, just Barry's disrobing.
I think it's the push he's going to have to start trying to hook up again with Iris in the Earth 1.
Mickey Jiggle says, I always thought she looked better in the 40s. She wears that 40s look very well. Iris West does. But even before that, he just goes and he gets his doppelganger without thinking of how it's going to affect anything. If it wasn't for him meddling in the first place, that Joe wouldn't have died, really. That was all his fault.
That's right. You're right. Well, it's not only that, it's... Okay, the getting Barry was a decent plan, like disguising yourself as Barry because he has access to the files. But then at that point, stop farting around with Iris and stick to the mission, you asshole.
I'll agree, though. If I was in his place, I would have followed her home, too. I'd be like, oh, fuck the mission. Oh, no. I'm just going to live here. This is great.
I just want to stick it in real quick, and then I'll go and flash around.
Then I got to go flash around. I'll
be fast. I'm the Flash.
Joe's the best actor on TV. Yeah. Again, Joe West got to sing and die in the same episode. Something most actors would kill to do. And you know what? He nailed both of them. Like a great emotional scene. He's Jesse L. Martin is so good.
Yeah. I mean, it's the cast that does it.
Yeah. All everyone together.
Show.
Yeah.
It's the cast and great writing, like really good writing and fun stuff that's shown is, I mean, it's a good combination of everything.
Yeah, and they're pulling things from the comic books always, and they do such a great job. I did like the way Earth 2 was like an orange palette overall, and then you cut back to Earth 1, and it's kind of blue. was a good way to kind of separate it because they were cutting back at times and it was a little bit confusing, but I think the palette choice and the lighting helped keep the world separate.
It does help. So let's move on.
Killer Frost is still alive. They're still on Earth 2. We're going to have more Earth 2 fun next week. Next show, everyone.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, guys. I'm Adrian.
And I'm his issues.
Wait, what?
Hey, guys. I'm Adrian.
And I'm... Wait, that's not right. Hey, guys. I'm Adrian.
And I'm Eileen.
Tune in to the Adrian Has Issues podcast. Each week we chat with some great people.
Including me from time to time.
Comic book creators, comedians.
Musicians and actors.
Tax collectors, Zamboni drivers.
Point is, basically anyone willing to sit down for a geeky discussion or two on all things pop culture.
Visit AdrianHasIssues.com where you can download and stream every episode.
Especially the ones featuring yours truly.
Visit Adrian Has Issues on Facebook and Twitter.
And subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Please leave a rating and review and tell me how amazing I am. Us.
Oh, McKenna, you're way cooler than I am anyway.
Aw, thanks, babe. Oh, and Adrian Has Issues is also a proud member of the Tangent Bound Podcast Network.
Awesome. Nice save, Brodor. Visit AdrianHasIssues.com.
It's not just any day. It's Mr. Throwback Thursday.
Hey, this is Jamie.
And this is Bill, and we are the Mr. Throwback Thursday podcast.
Do you remember when the wheels were steel and the beats were real?
We do, and we talk about it every Thursday.
You can check out Woo News, One and Done, Record of the Week, and a whole lot more.
That's Mr. Throwback Thursday, keeping it classic on iTunes, Stitcher, and at highvoltageradio.com.
And always remember, new school stale, old school fresh.
We are going to talk about this week's Arrow, everybody. Jock and Nerd Podcast, thanks for joining us in the blab. If you are here hanging out, make sure you wait till the end of the show because we'll open up the seat. We'll get to geek out and take your thoughts on whatever you want to geek out about. We love meeting everyone. This week's Arrow, Season 4, Episode 13 by Mikey Jiggles. I love that name, Mikey Jiggles.
Mikey Jiggles.
I don't think he likes Arrow because then he said no. Well, I don't know why he doesn't like Arrow. Episode 3, Sins of the Father. Lots of father talk in this episode, guys.
Three?
Sorry, 13.
13, okay, not cool. Three. I was a little...
3 with a 1 in front of
3
it.
3 plus 10.
Oh, that number.
Yeah,
okay.
That one that comes after 12. Sins of the Father, appropriate title. Lots of father talk. I forgot that Nyssa and Oliver were still married.
Everyone. I forgot about that, too.
Remember, they're still married technically in the eyes of the league. Or the league.
Well, yeah, they're doing it right. They're not having sex. They're perfectly married.
Well, I guess that's how it works.
It's a joke grenade. You have to wait a few seconds and you get it. Oh, ah, yeah. Okay.
So there's let's talk about the side plot first. Cause it was kind of, it was wrapping up the calculator, deal, the calc, as I like to call them.
There's not much there.
Felicity basically.
Do you believe that he's got good intentions?
Nah, I don't know. No. I liked Donna. We finally, you know, we were missing Felicity's mom and Lance were both in this episode, but even her mom was like, "People don't change, honey. Don't fucking buy it." And he seems sincere, but I guess he left the thing behind. Basically, she leaves a test for her father. He fails. She rats him out. He goes to jail. Boom. There's the calc. He'll probably be a little bit better about that.
I found that side plot to be pretty uninteresting.
Yeah, it was kind of a shoehorn in there. I mean, we knew that he knew, but he pretty much confirms that he knows who, you know, she's working with and what she does. But he doesn't know the rest of the team, I guess, but he knows that she works with them. Whatever.
Didn't care.
The main storyline, though, was pretty fucking good.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a bunch of twists and turns to get to Ollie and Malcolm finally fighting, which should have happened a long time ago because Malcolm is a complete asshole and has caused a season and a half worth of pain for, like, no, 3 seasons worth of pain for Ollie.
Still gets away pretty fucking easy in this, despite all this shit. Yeah. So there was two fight scenes. The last one kind of sucked. The street fight scene with the League of Assassins versus the ninjas, Nissa's ninjas. I don't even know what her side is called.
I believe it was just like a civil war between the leagues.
Oh, the split off league. That was pretty badass. I enjoyed that fight scene in the street. That was like good Arrow fight scene choreography going on there.
It was the League of Assassins versus the Intramural League of Assassins.
The Intramural. They play between leagues. Like,
yeah,
they're intralegal assassins.
Yeah, they meet up at the VFW and then they go to the field and then they practice.
They got to fight the League of Paralegal Assassins, and who they just write out paperwork all day long.
So. It's always weird though when the league is there, and I guess Ollie too, but more so when it's the league is when they're having like this huge brawl, and like it's supposed to be this like high level assassin organization. They're all using bow and arrows and swords, like. It's so weird. It's just so strange sometimes.
Yeah, that's what the leagues do. It's league mandated. You got to have the logo of your weapon on the thing.
It doesn't matter if they have guns or arrows. They always miss anyway. It doesn't
that's
matter.
True. That's true. Yeah. It doesn't help their aim anyways. Why were
they're a little more accurate with arrows, though.
Yeah, that's surprising, which is way harder to fucking shoot an arrow more accurately than just blindly shoot and hit someone. Basically, it picks up where, you know, Nissa's like, look, I got this Lotus. It's going to help Theo. You got to kill Malcolm Merlyn. And Oliver, for some reason, is like, I'm going to go talk to Oliver. Malcolm, maybe he'll just give you the ring. What do you think? And I was like, what the fuck, dude? Are you kidding
me? Well, he's given up on killing.
That's true, but I didn't buy for one bit. And Malcolm agrees, and it happens very quickly, and they're there on the rooftop, and I was like, okay, some shit's going to go down, and some shit does go down.
It was a bunch of people making some bit like questionable decisions. I mean, you had Nissa being a complete asshole and holding Theo over his head. You had Ollie just being like still saving Malcolm.
Yeah.
And then you had Malcolm kind of just like, you know what, I'm going to throw away my daughter's life. So you had three assholes just arguing with one another at this point.
Barrowman was pretty intense though in that one scene where
he gives a speech to Ollie. That was
not put this power in Nissa's hands. Like, still, that was more important to him than his own daughter.
Well, it wasn't that. It was the power, yes, for sure, but it was also that the power to save millions or whatever instead of one.
To
like, he was looking at the grand scheme.
The one, yeah. Ruggs, what'd you think?
I enjoyed the episode. I mean, I knew that I was waiting to see what Arrow's master stroke was. What he said he had something cooked up, and I can't believe that Nissa like just let him fight for her though. Like I just really, she's so prideful. Like I don't understand why she just like,
she
let
just.
Him.
I think she knows that Malcolm can kick her ass. I think that's the what I got out of it.
Because she did want him to do it.
Yeah, I just felt that was weird because like Nissa's like so unstoppable, and all of a sudden she's like, "Well, I can't beat him." So how about you do it?
So Ollie steps in on the behalf of Nissa as her husband at the last minute, and then they have this lame sword fight that lasts all of like 3 seconds, and Malcolm just goes down, and he's like, "Go ahead, kill me." I'm like, "What the fuck's going on?" And he calls his bluff. And Oliver fucking Luke Skywalker is him, basically. He Darth Vader's his ass.
Now, let's call what's going to be on Merlin's hand. Is it bionic hand, like Coulson?
Or wooden hand.
Because everybody in a comic book show at some point has got to get their hand chopped off.
Damien Dark will give him a magic hand, maybe.
Magic hands?
Could be magic hand. I got magic hands.
Like
people.
He's going to be a really good masseuse?
Yeah.
And he's got...
It's not a Broadway dance move. It's an actual magic hand.
Ooh.
Can I comment on that fight real quick?
Yes.
It was lame.
Lame.
But I do
lame.
Think they were trying to show that Ollie's gotten so much better since the first season that he can just whoop Malcolm's ass.
Oh, straight. Real quick.
But it was lame. This was a conflict that's been building for a while. You would have wanted to see them fight for at least a minute. Maybe two.
So then I think, look, after he cuts the hand off, he gives the ring to Nissa. And now I think what Nissa does next is even probably more irresponsible with this power a little bit. She melts the fucking ring and disbands the entire League of Assassins.
Oh, shit.
Why do you find that?
Because now there's fucking killing assassins just running wild with no direction, no master.
Like, what do we do now?
Literally unleash killers.
Attack?
You just unleash
they
killers.
They're going to rally around. They're going to become Damien Dark's men. Like, what happens?
It's exactly what happened when we took Saddam Hussein out. All the fucking militias went nuts. He was keeping those people in check. They weren't fucking with anybody. We take him out. Power's destabilized. Everything's a shit show. The same thing's going to happen to Star City.
That Berlanti's going to even touch that shit with a 10-foot pole, though? That whole theory?
Dude, they're not touching that shit.
No, that's I think
I mean, that's Imran's.
That's where I would go with it, but I mean, I'm me.
Well, what, are these people just going to retire and get jobs at the 7-Eleven now? They don't have to kill people? Like, oh, what do you do as an ex-League of Assassiner?
You're right. The intent was good for Nyssa, in theory. You want to dissolve a League of Assassins. You don't want people killing a bunch of people. But the execution was a little bad.
She just like called everybody. Okay, guys, go home.
Yeah. It's not as black and white as she made it out to be.
Well, that's just as dangerous. At least she could have like been responsible with the power and done good.
Maybe done it gradually.
Well, but the whole theme was like getting free from your father. Lots of father. I did like how they talked about Ollie's father. Ollie talked about his father, Felicia's father, Thea's father, Nyssa's father. Lots of father relationships explored.
It looks like they've made Malcolm now just a permanent enemy now forever for Ollie.
Yeah. So what do we see?
He is the arch nemesis in the comics to Ollie.
Malcolm finally tells Oliver that he knows about his son and he gives his son up to Damien. Like, that's fucked up. So that whole situation, I think we have to take a new update on who put who in the grave.
I was still running with Malcolm.
Malcolm put who in the grave?
No, I'm saying Malcolm is the guy that puts someone in the grave. What you guys suggested last week, I still think that's the case. Because Ollie's going to be like, I should have killed that son of a bitch. I've had so many opportunities.
What if Damien kills Oliver's son, William?
No, I think it'll be the mom.
But he finds out that Malcolm is behind it, and he still has to kill
him. Mama drama. I'm running with Malcolm being the guy he's got to kill. I'm still in... I don't know who the person in the grave is.
So Thea is cured as of this episode.
Yes.
Yes, because they finally got the potion. They got the elixir. They gave her the Lotus elixir. Blue windshield wiper flavor fluid. You guys, Anthony Clegg wrote in again, and his question this week regards to Arrow. Anthony says, quick question. Where the fuck is Nanda Parbat? Because it appears to be next to Star City. They literally travel there in seconds, and when they have a civil war, it takes place in Star City. I thought it was next to the island that Oliver was stuck on. He has a good point. They get to fucking Nanda Parbat back and forth really fast.
You know what the answer to that is? It doesn't. Since these are all made up places, they could be all right next to each other.
You know what? It's across the river to fucking Gotham and Metropolis on the other side. I don't know.
I mean, it's played off like it's like in what, the Himalayas, probably,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like Tibet or like Northern India.
Yeah, it's clearly outside of like China or Mongolia.
Yeah,
and then yeah,
I was gonna say somewhere on the border of India and Asia, something like that.
And then Star City is clearly in America, but with it all being made up places, it could be all right next to each other.
They should open a Panda Express in Nanda Parbat, because then you could say I work at the Panda in Nanda.
Oh shit!
I don't know. any other thoughts on this week's Arrows, guy? I'm gonna go to the Panda and Nanda.
I didn't think it was as good as a Flash, but I wasn't. I'm glad that Malcolm's not is an enemy now and not some asshole that partnering up with Ollie.
At least he suffered something. It's just a hand being cut off. It's gotta hurt. Good for Ollie. Well, hurt him, but he should have just fucking killed him.
Yeah,
I was wondering how they were gonna skirt around that.
But do you think that they're going to resolve this, or is this going to be like a Dark and this guy teaming up, Merlin teaming up now, and just they're like the central thing?
I think it's going to be the team up, like you just said.
Hmm. That's going to be interesting. Merlin's going to survive. Dark will be killed.
I would go the other way. I'd go Merlin finally gets his ass killed and Dark survives.
Ooh.
I'm fully now on the Merlin being the guy that Ollie's like, I have to kill him.
Oliver seemed to flip real quick though on Malcolm. Like, one minute he wants to help him, and then literally one line, and he's like, oh, okay, now we're gonna kill.
It's kind of foggy, that whole thing.
Yeah, it was a little confusing.
Not well defined.
What was going on? But interesting enough. All right, gang, one more show for the week. Let's do it.
Spoil some shit, Batman.
Thanks for tuning in. This is the Jock and Nerd Podcast. If you're in the Blab, thanks for hanging out. We're going to open up the Blab once the show's over, and you can come in and geek out. We are, hey, Topher71, what did you miss? Well, you're just in time to hear us talk about this week's Legend of Tomorrow, Season 1, Episode 4, called White Knights. Where this one was, this show is weird. Like, a lot of stuff happens, but not a lot of stuff happens at the same time, I feel.
Like how, like for instance, how?
Just the pacing is, it seems more decompressed than the other shows, I think.
All right, remind me what happened, because I watched it, and then
so they end up in there.
I can recap.
Okay, recap the show, yeah. Oh yeah, that's right.
They go to the 80s, and they realize that what's his name is in Vandal Savage is in Russia after they infiltrate the Pentagon. They realize he's making his own firestorms with this lady, this hot Russian chick, and they have to infiltrate his Russian base and get the core out so that they can't make more human firestorms. That was the whole gist.
That was the one side.
Starts like hooking up with the lady, or not really, but you know, sucking up to her.
So there's,
well, since it was the 80s, did anybody do coke and get AIDS?
No.
Not a lot of 80s references.
No, there wasn't.
They smoked weed in the 70s.
Yeah, they didn't do.
They dressed like it.
But it wasn't like an overtly 80s.
It would be great if like someone got AIDS and then they went to the ship and got cured.
The most 80s.
Now we have a cure for that.
Gideon goes, "You have AIDS." I step
the
into
most
the 80s
medbay. Things were the Cold War references and that they called Russia the Soviet Union.
Yeah, and he's like, and more over the top language dialogue delivery by Snart, where he's like, "Daruski's just pinched Minch and Stein."
I cringe every time he talks, but then at the same time, I kind of laugh.
I know it's starting to grow on me.
I like the piece of tech where the future tech where you can swallow a pill and it'll attach to your larynx and switch languages.
Ingestible translators. Yeah. What a great
little knows how to make your lips make those words.
Holy shit! Yeah. What a great device. That was. I was like, I want those. I want one of those.
Right. It'd make the world. It'd probably cure the world of half of its problems.
That was so great.
We could all just understand what other one was saying.
That's true.
If we could all have a universal language.
Yeah. Oh, that would be fantastic. Yeah. So I loved Ray and Snart. Fucking Lenny Snart's got some game, dude. He's picking up. For some reason, the Russian scientists are very attractive. And this one's no different. Valentina Vostok, who's actually, that was her name in the show. And it's a character from the comics. She was a member of Doom Patrol, known as Negative Woman. And then she became the White Queen of that organization, Checkmate, which is another fucking organization like Argus. But
well, she is Russian.
Yeah, she's Russian, and Snart Snart lays the game on her, and it totally works for a while.
But that's before Adam comes in and like tries to.
Yeah, Ray gets shot down right away. She ain't having it. That was pretty great. Yeah.
I was gonna say the Martin Stein Jack stuff really worked for me.
I that worked surprisingly well. That could have been
because both of their arguments were actually legit.
And Jack's like, Victor Garber's great. He's just, his acting commitment, you buy everything. Fucking this kid Jax, I don't even know. He did a really good job. That could have easily went over the top melodramatic. But he kind of restrained it and played that fine line, and you felt bad for it. And his argument is, look, dude, you kidnapped me from my parents. They don't know where the fuck I am in 2016. I miss my mom. And Stein, you know, after, he doesn't say to his face, but he's like, I got to be hard on you because I can't lose another person. Like, he's hurt by Ronnie. And you feel...
Well, and he's looking at the big picture.
He needs him.
Millions, so, you know, kill maybe one, save millions sort of thing.
Really well done. Like, great scene, very sincere.
Heatwave was a lot. I thought had a lot of good one-liners again.
Well, so
I mean, he's got the same shtick, but it's funny to me.
While all that's going on, Rip and Heatwave have to deal with Kronos because like he kind of finds him, and I like this bit, but this was also weird and confusing. The Time Master Druce, which is Bruce with a D, I don't know why.
Druce.
He goes, look, Rip, just send your team away, come back, everything will be forgiven.
You only got an hour, by the way.
Okay.
to deliberate. No, that's what that's.
Oh
what
yeah, Bruce and he's like, come back, meet me in an hour. Go talk to them.
Like an hour? That's it?
That's it. And like right away, they're like, this dude's fucking with you, dude. Don't buy it. And the whole like argument was kind of weird. So basically, he goes back, and of course, it's a double cross. But then it's a double cross, and they get away. Right?
Jax gets himself hurt.
Holy shit, I don't remember any of this.
You don't remember any of this? That's right. No. Jax is a little brash. So this is, you know, this is right before they have that blowout because he's not listening to Marty Stein. Martin's like, we should shoot from a covered area. And he's like, fuck off, I got this. I'm going in. And the blast separates them, actually, which I was like, oh shit, that had to hurt.
Nah. That was, so then you had that storyline. And then the other side plot was that the White Canary and Hawkgirl both have this primal rage, and they're both trying to like learn from each other how to control it.
I even like
they
this.
Cancel each other out.
Yeah, yeah. I like they had to help each other. They were kind of two sides of the same coin. You know, Sarah had to show Kendra to embrace this goddess in her, and Kendra had to get Sarah to embrace humanity a little bit, calm her bloodlust down. But I love where they like bloodlusted each other. Like, yeah, almost fucking killed each other. I thought it worked. It made it more interesting. Like, they did a good job.
Yeah.
What's that?
You had two. He thought they were going to make out.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to see a boob pop out, and maybe they'll kiss.
Geek moment.
Now,
that would
have
been great.
Now you have, like, two wild cards on the team with them, too, because you never know what's going to happen when they go out and use their powers.
You got a lot of wild cards. You got the snark guy. You got the fucking guy who heat wave. They're all, wild cards.
They're wild cards, but they're more a little more predict, like, they're criminals, so you know that they're going to do some bad shit. You don't know that if you send out White Canary, if she's going to flip and accidentally kill someone, or if you send out Hawkgirl, that she's going to scratch someone's face off like she did.
And even Captain Cold and Heatwave, you can't control them. He's still fucking pickpocket. I love that he just pickpockets everyone he meets. It's fun. Just like habit. He's like, whatever. It's harmless. That's great. But where the episode leaves off, kind of on a cliffhanger, they have Stein. The Russians have Ray, Stein, and Heatwave at the end. And like Rip convinces Cold to leave, like the whole discussion of stay with, don't leave anyone behind. And Rip actually convinces Snart to leave them behind and make off with Thermocore for the betterment of everyone. But he's not happy. He's like, dude, that goes against my code. You never leave anybody behind.
Well, and he says the next mission is to get them.
The next mission. Well, it's very convenient, Rip. But there's a lot of fun Easter eggs. For example, I learned Gideon is not Morena Baccarin in this show. It's this woman, Amy Pemberton, who's done a lot of video game voiceover work. I was kind of disappointed.
Why is that an Easter egg?
I was kind of disappointed. Well, Gideon itself is the Easter eggs that we got to see Gideon, I think, for the first time in the show. Like, full?
No, we've seen her.
No, we've seen her before?
Yeah.
I said Valentina Vostok is a member, is from the comic books. Also, I liked how, like, the White Knights and her connection to being the White Queen of Checkmate. White Knights, just a little theme there. I did not appreciate all the snart cold puns. He kept fucking every line was like, oh, that's cold. A little frigid. Like, there were so many fucking cold puns, one right after another. Really,
yeah,
dude?
I would agree with that.
And Kendra really wants us to know that 2 months ago she was a barista. Every fucking episode.
Yeah, she's like, 2 months ago. That's a go-to line. I was a barista.
We get it. You were a barista.
She's still kind of an actress, in my opinion.
That's my one beef.
Barista thing for like 3 days. It's like she defines her whole entire life by a job that she barely even did.
That's my one beef with overall. Everybody kind of has a thing, except for Kendra. Like, she's still kind of useless, and what's the point, and what's she doing? We don't really know her that much. We haven't learned any more character development about her. She's just kind of there.
I don't find her interesting at all.
Me neither. I agree with Rugboy.
She's just kind of there. Now, the final Easter egg, this is kind of cool I learned. That, you know, we were talking about Savage wants to make a Russian Firestorm. That officer at the end, the Russian officer that they were talking to in the credits, his name is Mikhail Arkadin, who in the comic books is better known as this fire elemental named Pozhar, who is the Russian Firestorm from the comic books. So,
geek boner.
They might pull that shit out there.
So what did you guys, we went over kind of everything that happened in the episode, but what did you guys think? Did you like this episode?
I like the fun heist. It was a fun heist episode. I like the reveal at the end where she's got Snart at gunpoint and Ray's got to make some decisions and it all kind of falls apart. That was cool. I really did enjoy the Kendra and Sarah thing. It was more interesting than I thought that was going to be once they got into it and thinking about, like, their both problems.
What'd you think, Rugway?
Anthony Clegg's in the house, by the way. We got to give him one of these.
Anthony Clegg, that's the guy who got in trouble by his wife.
Yes, we read your email about Agent Carter, Anthony. You'll have to listen. Thanks for stopping it. It's 3 in the morning.
It was about Arrow, wasn't it?
It was Arrow. I wonder how drunk he is.
What'd you think of the episode, Rugway? If you can remember it.
I was looking at my phone the whole time.
Oh, no.
Okay, so there
that's
you go.
What I was doing.
Didn't really hold your attention.
I was like, not giving a shit about anything that was happening that I was looking at my phone. So that's why I don't remember anything. I tried to watch it, but I was just like, okay, this guy's going to do this. And this guy, I'm like, okay, whatever. So I wasn't like interested in the story at all, really. This whole like going to the Russian chick. You know, I like that, you know, Captain Cold like macked on that girl and outmacked like, you know, Superman or whatever his name is. Yeah. The Atom. All right.
Yeah. Ray Palmer.
So, yeah. Ray Palmer. So he's going to, yeah, Ray, that's what he's going to be doing. He's going to be palming it all night because he's not getting that girl. That's the master of getting it. So, you know, that was entertaining. Everything else was kind of like the firestorm, like, you know, infighting was not cool to me. Like this, I don't want to listen to like the old guy, like professing how smart he is and how much he knows. It's like,
but
boring already.
But I forgot about that. He kind of had a redemption moment when he was absorbing that thermal core. First of all, he gets Jax in his head, and he goes, oh my, is this what I sound like? I'm sorry. And then he even says, he's like, look, I put you through enough things. It's my turn. I'm going to take the hit for this one. And he fucking absorbs a thermal core that almost knocks him out. So I love that moment for Dr. Stein. Makes him a little bit less of a dick.
Well, he got to do something heroic, you know.
By the way, yeah. Anthony Clegg update. He says, she was fine once I played it back. So the wife has watched the episode and she enjoyed it. Good. We didn't ruin a marriage here on
Talking Nerd.
Keeping people married since 2015.
I'm in the middle with you guys on this episode. I think the best parts of this show are like the little character interactions when there's just two of them or three of them. The plot on this one was a little, whatever. I kind of missed Savage, though. I've grown to like Savage's character.
I was actually glad we got a break from the Savage.
Last week, his episode was much better, though.
Yeah, last week was a lot better, and I thought a lot of that had to do with Savage. Mm. This is the first episode, though, where, yeah, there's a running thread of like finding Savage, but every episode's kind of ended in a neat bow where they get out of the situation. This is the first one where they're not out of it, and it's like to be continued on the next episode.
It didn't end with that same thing the last three episodes ended with, which was, you guys still in? We're going to still do this? Yeah, we'll still do this.
You want to go? Yeah? Okay. Yeah,
okay, let's go. This time it was actually like, oh, fuck, we got to go save them now. What have I done?
There's something, some urgency to do something now.
Yeah. All right, gang. Anything else? That was good. I think let's wrap it up.
I have one thing to ask you, Imran.
Yes.
What are you?
I'm Batman. The Jock and Nerd Podcast. Thanks for hanging out, gang. We're going to wrap up the show now and open it up in the blab and geek out with you guys. Topher71 wants to know, we discussed the Batman vs. Superman trailer yet. We did, but you can jump in here and discuss it with us right when we open up the post show. Just want to shout out to the networks we're on. Thanks to Tangent Bound Network, Weeby Geeks, A Place to Hang Your Cape, and podcast.ph for carrying the Jock and Nerd Podcast on their websites. It's awesome.
Absolutely.
You should
definitely go to jockandnerd.com if you liked what you listened to, and go to jockandnerd.com/review. You can write us a nice review and on our iTunes page. It really helps the show. And you should definitely subscribe to us on either iTunes or any of your podcast apps.
If you guys want to get in contact, let us know what you thought of Deadpool so we can include it in our Deadpool review show. Yeah. Just go to jockandnerd.com/contact, or you can just email show@jockandnerd.com. I also want to thank Jordan Radford at Jordan the Pies for being the best BABA out there. And that is a badass blab assistant.
Jock and Nerd.
She's awesome. Yeah. Thank you. Rugs, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitters at Really Rug Boy. But if you really want to see me, you can watch me on blab.im, where you're watching me right now. Or you can look up, you know, do a little searchy search and find the Rug Boy or Jock and Nerd Podcast or Jock and Nerd Cast. Or if you want, you can go on the YouTubes.
That's right.
And do a search for Jock and Nerd podcast, and you'll see that our videos have gotten 6 whole views.
Oh, it's up to 6?
Geek Booner.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
Nobody knows that we're on YouTube. So we
don't push the YouTube thing.
It's just there. But all these fun Jock and Nerd Weeklies, listener, the point is you can watch this, and there's always extra fun wackiness in the post show, which we are going to get to.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Exactly. All right, gang. Thanks for listening. This has been the Jock and Nerd Podcast. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
He's the nerd.
And we'll hear you next time.
Bro, do you even podcast?
Wowie zowie!
All right, hey, so gang.
I might jump back on, but I kind of have to take a dump.
All right, you take care of business there.
I appreciate your honesty.
Yeah, so I'll be back, maybe.
It doesn't sound the same coming out of his mouth that it comes out of yours, Ruggs, for some reason.
I got a shit.
Yeah, that's okay. That's cute and charming. We got open slots here that we are finally at what's fast becoming possibly my favorite part of the Jock and Nerd podcast, the Jock and Nerd post-show open blab.
Jock and Nerd!
Say, is your Wi-Fi bad? Is it wired in? You got to choose the camera. I don't know.
We got all the people with
tests. Oh, there he is. We see you. Hold on.
Jock and Nerd!
Yay! We got him. It's Death.
It's yeah, Death. Can you hear me all right?
Yes! Finally, we get you on, dude. How's it going?
Good. How are you guys?
It's nice to meet you. I saw you comment on our Facebook posts, and I love that you were a listener and you were hanging out, man.
I loved you with Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, by the way.
I have to thank you guys for keeping me busy at work.
Oh, right on.
Work is so boring, and I just listen to your podcast all the time.
Oh, I love this guy. Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, you listen to our actual podcast?
Yep.
So you came over here after listening first, right?
That's correct.
And you didn't know what we look like. I love when that happens because the last guy, Anthony Clegg, who did that, he thought Anthony was like a 12-year-old boy, the jock.
Where's your wife, Chris Williams? Is she behind you?
Is she going to bust you?
She's upstairs snoring away.
Where are you calling from, dude?
Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Oh, a lot of Philly people.
You churning some butter? Yeah. What are you doing over there?
No, I'm just chilling tonight, home inside for the night.
Dude, I got a story about Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and it takes place in the 90s when I was in college at Pratt Institute in Brooklyn. I was part of the student union, and we went on this trip to a student union conference where, like, you get these acts, right? And this place, I had met Barry Williams, who was Greg Brady, and Skippy from Family Ties was there, and Horshack was there. But we stayed in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and we went to the Amish town. And to this day, dude, those people eat really well. Oh, my God. Some of the best. It was like an Amish buffet, and it was so fucking good. And it was a really interesting town, and that's what little I remember. There's a lot of Amish there, aren't there?
Yes, there are. You can get fat eating all that food.
It's very rich. It was very rich. And if you're not putting up barns every day, you ain't burning those calories off, people. It's the only way.
Right.
Gotta get busy mowing that lawn.
So what's that like with the Amish community? Like, do they keep to themselves, obviously, we know, but like, what is it like living there? They just do their thing?
Yeah, they keep to themselves. They, you know, there's a whole section of like a touristy place, but I don't think the real Amish go there. Oh. They don't like their picture getting taken. They don't like outsiders. They just keep to themselves. It's not like that show, Amish Mafia.
I was going to say, I love those shows of those kids that like leave and go clubbing.
They go to Rumspringers.
They go to Rumspringers, so they get into all sorts of trouble. What do you, Chris, you into the, obviously you must like geeky things, comic book things. What are you into?
Oh yeah, big comic book guy. And I love all these comic book movies.
Who's your favorite? What's your favorite?
I'm a Marvel guy, so I'd have to say I really like Cap and Iron Man.
How
old
are you?
All those movies were good. 44.
Okay.
Right.
He's our age.
Okay.
Yeah. 4 years older than me. Are you reading, anything right now?
I have the Marvel Unlimited app, so I can read older stuff.
You can read
and
anything.
Like maybe stuff that's a year old. So I keep in touch with that
stuff.
See,
this is why there isn't going to be comic book stores in the future anymore, people.
Yeah, I know.
You must have heard episode 50. Really, but thanks. What you just said, and there's nothing wrong with it. Look, I got an iPad here. This is how I'm running all the shit. And yeah, if I had access to every fucking book Marvel published right here that I could pull up, why the fuck would I go to a comic book store?
Yeah, where am I going to keep all that stuff?
Right?
I would want to be able to project it on my ceiling.
Ooh, that'd be kind of cool.
And so I could read it in bed.
Real big. But I mean, it's going to be.
That would be cool.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
One of the things I hate about reading comics is like trying to find a comfortable position to read them in.
No, they need like VR. Uh-huh. You got to take the Oculus Rift. You need VR goggles. And it's just it displays in front of you, and you just like tap on it.
That's just going to give me a headache. I would just project it onto my ceiling.
Okay.
And I'd use that for my masturbation as well. I would project it on the ceiling.
Do they sell those comic books? What app is that?
That's a great idea.
Dude, it's the wave of the future. Mark my words. Listen, when Rug Boy says something, nothing happens. Okay? Just remember that.
Terrific. That's right. Now, so Chris, this year out of all these movies, what are you looking most forward to out of this fucking slate?
Well, I was going to go see Deadpool today, but I couldn't make it to that. But I'm really most excited for probably Civil War.
Yeah.
Understood.
And after watching that Batman Superman trailer yesterday. Yeah. Kind of excited for that too.
A little bit more, but
I'm not gonna watch a stupid trailer.
You gotta watch, dude. Batman fighting like that. I've never seen that.
You guys haven't watched it?
No, I have. Rugs has.
I refuse to watch it, but I know it's inevitable. I'm gonna watch. Shit's gonna pop up on TV.
He doesn't want to get spoiled. Look,
Rugs, just watch the first 25, 30 seconds.
Yes. You'll know when
to
stop.
All you need to see.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
The most badass Batman we've seen yet. Like, he's brutal. He also, yeah, he had, absolutely. In that one shot, he had spikes on his boots, like in Dark Knight Returns. So they're pulling all these little pieces from everywhere. I still think the movie's going to be a fucking mess, but I got me.
Yeah, I do too. But maybe I'll walk out after that scene.
Look, best case scenario, this movie comes out. Maybe it doesn't do what the studio wanted, and they just remove Zack Snyder from the equation. They give Ben Affleck Justice League and Batman. Just fucking take Snyder out. Yeah. I know he's passionate, but...
So, Chris, you've listened to a lot of the episodes of Shock and Nerd?
Yep. Only the ones you're on, Drug Boy.
Aww.
Really?
I'll hop off with somebody else.
I have listened to some that you're not on, but the majority you're on.
Oh, because like those are the best ones. They do the interviews, and I don't do those.
Yeah.
Imagine that you're like some kind of like famous film director, and I'm sitting here talking about my dick the whole time.
This is the problem. We love the Rugs. We want them on as much as we want. But how am I supposed to explain this when we land like a legit guest? Like, and I got to explain, oh, by the way, there's a puppet who's going to be making dick jokes the whole time when we're asking you questions. Are you okay with that? Like, it's a hard sell when you're trying to have a legit. So I understand the fans love the Rugs. I know this. So we want them as many times as we can, but. Sometimes too much of a good thing can also be bad.
Yeah, it's good. Keeping me in these things, and then we'll do the occasional Nerd Fest or review, and then I'll be on that.
Chris, what do you think about this idea? We also want to do an interview show where we just straight interview Rug Boy. He's the guest.
Oh, I would love that show.
I think that show would be a hit.
Do you have any questions for Rug Boy? Do you have anything that you feel like it should be explored?
Because I listen to all... I've listened before, and you know your mother made it with Felty or with some Romanian curse.
He's listened. Blah, 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 blah. He knows the whole backstory.
I love it when I have fans that legit listen to me.
He knows the fucking backstory. I'm still shocked when people come up and they're like, "How's your slack hole?" Like they listen to the show.
Do you have a particular joke or something that I said that stuck with you from anything?
Oh my gosh, there's so many. No, not one particular. I just find you amusing.
No. Okay. I just want to know if like what I said that was funny, because I can't remember anything else.
No, very entertaining when I'm at work.
Yeah, because like I don't know what the fuck I say after I say it. It just comes out and then I don't even know what I was saying. No idea.
I think my favorite episode was when Rugboy and Emron recanted the Spider-Man comic with Juggernaut going crazy.
Oh my god!
That we like that. That was fun.
That was our Spider-Man.
I really like that one.
Yeah, we recapped that too. Remember I recapped the Nothing Can Stop the Juggernaut storyline?
Yes, I remember that. I was like, do you have to recap every panel?
And I was like, yes, motherfucker. It's very important.
I was like, dude, I'm getting tired over here. My fucking slack hole is sore.
And then I listened, my another favorite episode was when I listened to Anthony argue with that guy about esports.
I heard that was awesome. I listened to like three quarters of it. Does it get worse at the end?
They don't get into it.
No, they don't get into it. Anthony actually, they kind
of,
yeah.
I guess they both kind of acquiesce.
Yeah. Anthony is my favorite thing. When Anthony yells really at Imran, when he gets mad at me. No, but it's funny because you can see frustration on Anthony's face sometimes, and it's hilarious.
Dude, all you have to do is comment in the chat, esports are going to take over real sports, and he'll just fucking go live it. It's great. I know the button to push now.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, but I just like pushing his button. But I find the esports fascinating. It's gonna be something. I don't fucking know. It's something to talk
My
about.
My son plays League of Legends.
Oh, see?
It's ugh.
Dude. What? You no, that kid can earn you a six-figure salary in a year if you make a practice and get good at that shit.
I tell him all the time, and he's trying to work his way up to, I guess, gold or whatever the top is, and he says it's hard.
Yeah. I mean, but again,
it's not just one person. I guess it's a team.
Yeah. So, look, it's teaching him teamwork, how to work with people, strategy, much like playing a sport, and it's a lot less injurious. You're not going to get a concussion.
Mm. Yeah, but he's still a 13-year-old know-it-all douchebag.
They're all douchebags.
I didn't mean to say that.
But your kid's a douchebag, huh?
Oh, shit.
This guy.
What do you expect?
I think I might like this kid.
Another first on the Jock and Nerd. The parents calling their kids douchebags.
Jock and Nerd!
Yes! We almost ruined a marriage, and now we're going to break up a family. I love this show.
Yeah, maybe I should stop smoking.
Oh, light it up.
Nerd.
So what do you think it's going to take for this new legislation to happen, legalizing
it? It has to work on the federal level for it to fully be legit.
Yeah. I think it'll be medical. Well, not my state.
Do you
though,
think a president can get this passed?
Bernie will try to do it.
You won't do it.
He'll try.
Do you think a president can make this happen?
I don't know. I'd like to say yes, but...
I don't think it's going to happen by government.
One can only hope.
I think this is what's going to happen. Here's the rundown.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Here's the rundown.
Okay.
I go around my house saying that to my wife.
You say, here's the rundown?
Yeah. She's just like, what are you talking
we
about?
Wait a minute. We got people saying, here's the rug down.
Oh, Jock and Nerd.
Oh, how about awesome. Geek Boner? You say Geek Boner? Geek Boner.
Oh,
Geek
yeah, Boner. I say that too. She's just like, what is wrong with you?
Oh, that's fantastic. I love you guys.
She is not a geek at all.
Oh, well, that's okay. I mean, listen, she's probably hot, so.
That she is.
All right, so there you go. Yeah, look, you can have one or the other. No.
Right.
You can have a hot girl or a girl that's a geek.
If you have a
if
hot
it was
geek,
both, she'd be a man.
Yeah. I was going to say, that'd be unfair.